Welcome to Life Study of the Bible with Witness Lee, a program provided by Living Stream Ministry and featuring the ministry of Watchman Nee and Witness Lee. Witness Lee, a servant of the Lord for over 7 decades on 5 continents, culminated his ministry with a 21-year, book-by-book exposition of the entire Bible, which he called a life study. And we're delighted to bring you short portions of this spoken ministry on today's broadcast. Now, let's join today's life study.
Welcome back, Ed.
It's good to be back again to talk about this portion of Genesis.
Ed, today we're dealing with a very meaningful verse in Genesis, chapter 3, verse 15. We saw the last time that this verse presents us with 3 significant figures, the serpent, the woman, and the seed of the woman. Today, Witness Lee is going to focus primarily on the seed of the woman. So before we join him, would you give us a brief review of the serpent and the woman in Genesis 3:15?
Yes, we've seen that Genesis 3:15 is a great promise in the Scriptures concerning Christ coming as the seed of the woman to bruise the head of the serpent, Satan, on the cross and to destroy the devil. And in this verse, God told the serpent, he said, I will put enmity between you and the woman and between your seed and her seed. It shall bruise your head and you shall bruise his heel. And so there is enmity between Satan and the woman. Okay, so what we've seen in a previous broadcast is, of course, the serpent signifies Satan. And the woman in Genesis 3:15 is rich in significance. The woman there is firstly Eve. But later we see that Jesus becomes the seed of Mary. He is the real seed of the woman. But eventually this woman in typology becomes the church. And eventually in Revelation 12, we see that this woman is actually the totality of God's people. And that this seed that comes out of her is a corporate seed with Christ as the head and all his believers as the members of his body, all his overcoming believers as the members of his body. So there is enmity and warfare between the serpent and the woman throughout the history of God's people.
Thank you, Ed. There certainly is enmity, but there's also a seed, the seed of the woman, that will bruise the head of the serpent. Let's join Witness Lee for another life study from Genesis chapter 3 and further development of this seed.
I feel burdened that we still need to develop something further in Genesis 3:15. We all have to realize the woman in the Bible signifies the weaker vessel. But here in Revelation 12, within the woman, you have a stronger part. The man-child. The man-child. The woman is a weaker vessel. But within her, you have a man-child. Which means what? Something strong. Within the woman, there is the man-child. Who is this man-child? Among the Christians, several different interpretations. Mainly, so many fundamental teachers, they all say the man-child is the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, we do agree with this just in a sense. Why? Because 2 main things cause us not to believe in all senses that the man-child is Christ. Number one, the mother here is not an individual virgin. The mother here of the man-child is an universal corporate woman. Number two, if you read carefully this chapter, you can see in verse 5, the man-child was captured, not to the heir, but to the throne of God.
Amen.
Well, some teachers say, this means that the Lord Jesus was ascended to the heavens. But listen, in the following verse, verse 6, it says, after the capture of the man-child, there'll be 1260 days. This is altogether 3.5 years. My point is this. If you say the man-child is exactly the Lord Jesus, how could that after the Lord Jesus ascended to the heaven, there would be only 3.5 years? It's impossible. By this, you can realize the man-child should be something other than Christ himself. The man-child in Revelation 12 surely is the full fulfillment of the seed of woman. Genesis 3:15 and Revelation 12, these two portions of the divine word correspond one to another. In Genesis 3:15, we all could see three main figures: the serpent, the woman, and the seed of the woman. Then in Revelation 12, we see the same three crucial figures: the serpent, even he is called old serpent, and then the woman, and then the man-child. The two really correspond one to another. The seed of the woman in Genesis 3 is Christ. But when this seed will be developed up to Revelation 12, the man-child will be not only the Lord Jesus himself, but he and his body.
Amen.
It was an individual seed, but eventually it becomes a corporate thing.
Amen. Ed, let's break in here. I'm really intrigued about this matter of the seed. How is it that Witness Lee is making the point that the seed here is not limited to being just Christ individually? Would you explain again the reasons for this interpretation of the seed of the woman?
Yes, it's quite marvelous for us to see a full interpretation of what the seed of the woman in Genesis 3:15 signifies. And firstly, we need to see that the seed of the woman signifies Christ individually. And in Galatians 4:4, Paul tells us this, that Christ was born of a woman. But we also need to see that this seed of the woman can also be interpreted in a corporate sense. And we can see this from Revelation 12 in the first few verses. Now, if we look at Genesis 3, we see three figures here. We see the serpent, the woman, and the seed of the woman. If we come to Revelation 12, we see the same three figures. In Revelation chapter 12, the first three verses, what we see is that the serpent has become a great dragon. So you have the serpent here as a dragon. And you also have the woman. You have a great woman, and she's clothed with the sun, and the moon is underneath her feet. And she has a crown on her head of 12 stars. This means that she's clothed with light. And if we look at the interpretation of this woman in Revelation 12, what we see is this woman signifies the totality of God's people, God's redeemed people throughout the ages. So in Revelation 12, we have the serpent and we have the woman. But also in Revelation 12, this woman gives birth. She's in travail to give birth, and she gives birth to a man child. This is the corporate aspect of the seed of the woman in Genesis 3:15. This man-child is the stronger part of the woman. In other words, this man-child is the stronger part of God's chosen and redeemed people. This man-child signifies the overcoming believers. So this is the corporate aspect of the seed of the woman. Christ as the head of the body is the seed of the woman in an individual sense. But we know that Christ went into the ground and died as a grain of wheat. And then in resurrection, he came up out of the ground and he produced many grains of wheat. As the firstborn son of God, he's the head of the body. But the many sons of God are the many members of the body of Christ. They become, actually, in an overcoming sense, they become the corporate seed of the woman through whom God deals with and judges Satan.
Thank you, Ed. Let's go back to today's life study with Witness Lee.
It was an individual seed of the woman. When she was born in the manger, he was individual seed of the woman. When he was crucified on the cross to be our Redeemer, he was the individual seed of the woman. But after his resurrection, he got reproduced. He got multiplied. One grain of wheat becomes many grains. He was the unique one only begotten son, but through death and resurrection, he became the firstborn son among many sons, among many brothers. The firstborn son is the head of the body. And all the brothers and all the many sons are the members of the body. Now, the seed of the woman today is not an individual person, but a corporate person with the individual Christ as the head, with all his members as the body. So Christ is the head of this mantle, is the center of this mantle, is the reality of this mantle, and Christ is also the life and the nature of this mantle. The head has gone to the heavens, but his body is still here. As far as the head is concerned, he's gone, he's there. But as far as his body is concerned, we are still here. We are still here. We are waiting for the coming rapture. Hallelujah.
Amen.
We are just as he is. He is the first overcomer, and we are the following overcomers.
Amen.
He is the head of the mantle, and we are the body of the mantle.
Amen.
He is the reality of the mantle, and we are the expression of the mantle.
Amen.
He is the mantle's life and nature, and we are the mantle. And in John 14, verse 30, he told his disciples that the serpent, as the ruler, the prince of the world, had nothing in him. Oh, the serpent tried his best to get something out of the seed of the woman. Eventually, he got nothing. He got nothing. Then, when he went on the cross, he bruised the head of the serpent. To bruise the head of a serpent surely means to destroy the whole thing. So Hebrews 2:14 says, Christ destroyed the devil, who holds the power of death.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Amen.
Is this all? No. If this is all, it's wonderful, but wonderful outside of us.
Right.
But nothing getting into us. Listen to the last atom. After Jesus was born, after Jesus bound the strong man, and after Jesus gave no ground to the prince of the world, and after he destroyed this enemy on the cross, he was resurrected. In resurrection, he became the life-giving spirit.
Amen.
As the life-giving spirit, I tell you, whenever or wherever there is a person would say, Lord Jesus, it is so wonderful that this life-giving spirit would right away get into this person.
Amen.
It's a mystery, yet it is a fact.
Yeah.
And by this, he has roused himself into his believers.
Amen.
As they see.
Amen.
She is the seed.
Amen.
Now he has been sown into us as the seed.
Ed, I was very impressed with Witness Lee's point that the seed, or the man-child, certainly is Christ, but it's Christ as the head, and this man-child also has a body, doesn't he?
Okay, we've seen that the seed of the woman is Christ individually and personally. This covers Christ as the seed of the woman as the head of the body. But this seed of the woman also has a corporate aspect. As the man-child that's produced out of the woman, who is the totality of God's chosen and redeemed people, seen in Revelation 12, this man-child also has a body. And this body is composed of the overcoming believers who become the corporate aspect of the seed of the woman. Now, we've seen that Christ as the seed of woman, he destroyed Satan on the cross. But there's a corporate aspect to this seed, and it's through the church as the body of Christ, specifically through the overcoming believers who represent the body of Christ, that Satan as the serpent is dealt with and judged. We can see this in Romans 16, verse 20, where God makes a promise to the church in Rome. He says, "Now the God of peace will soon crush Satan under your feet shortly." This is a marvelous verse. We know that Christ once for all bruised the head of the serpent on the cross. He destroyed the devil. But this bruising of the serpent's head on the cross once for all is carried out in time through the overcoming believers. And we can see this in Romans 16:20. Those who are living the church life in this age, who are enjoying Christ in this age, who are paying the price to gain Christ and pursue Christ, God makes a promise to them that he will crush Satan under their feet. That is the feet of the body of Christ. This is a marvelous promise to the overcoming believers who live the body life in this age.
This is a marvelous promise. Thank you for that fellowship. Let's go back and join Witness Lee for the conclusion of today's life study.
You know, in Matthew 13, in this parable of the sower, he was the sower going out to sow the seed. And the seed was also himself. The Lord Jesus was sowing himself into the heart of the humankind. Jesus, as the seed, was sown into man's heart. The man got regenerated.
Amen.
Peter says, "You have been regenerated, not by some corrupted seed, but by the incorrupted seed."
Amen.
That is the living word, which is Christ. Christ is the seed. So John, in his epistle 3:9, says, "Whosoever been born of God cannot commit sin, because the seed of God," who is the seed?
Christ.
The seed of the woman is the seed.
Amen.
The seed of the overcomer, the number one overcomer, is the seed.
Amen.
Hallelujah. We do have a seed within.
Amen.
A conquering seed. One day, I noticed a song. When I was a little kid, we used to sing it so much on Christmas time. "Hark, herald's angels sing." And this song was written by Charles Wesley. The last verse, it says what? "Come, desire of nations." This is revealed in Haggai, chapter 2. Christ is the desire of all the nations. "Come, desire of nations, come." Come to do what? Come to die on the cross for me only?
No.
Come to fix in us thy humble home. I like this. Even more, it says, "Rise, Emmanuel. Rise, Jesus Christ. Rise, the woman. Conquering sea." I like this.
Amen.
Oh, Rise, the old man, conquering sea. To do what?
Bruise the serpent's head.
He did the bruising on the cross. But now, Charles Wesley says, bruising us.
Amen.
Not only on the cross in the past, but now in us.
Amen.
Bruise the serpent's head.
Amen.
Isn't this wonderful?
Amen.
Isn't this wonderful?
Amen.
Now, the next half of the stanza, Adam's likeness now evades. Because Adam's likeness was filled up with the serpentine nature. Stamp thine image in its place. It's ready to go. Transform us into the image of the Lord.
Amen.
Then finally Adam from above reinstate us in thy love. And now he is bruising the head of the serpent within us.
Amen.
And here's the woman's conquering sea. Eventually, we'll be the co-rulers with Christ. Revelation 2:26-27. By this you can see the Bible really combines Christ and all the overcomers together as one body. This is the ground for us to say that the man-child in Revelation 12 is not only Christ, but Christ as the head and all the overcomers as his body.
Amen.
I believe the Lord has shown us clearly the serpent, the woman, and the seed of the woman.
Well, Ed, what a marvelous conclusion to this life study. We finish with this great old hymn written by Charles Wesley. And most people are familiar with this, obviously, as a Christmas hymn, at least the first stanza. But the final stanza of this hymn contains the revelation of the seed of the woman that we've been talking about, bruising the head of the serpent. It's amazing, isn't it, that Wesley had this kind of clarity concerning God's purpose.
Yes, it is amazing. And, you know, thank the Lord that Charles Wesley had this revelation. And what's sad to me is that most people sing this hymn around the holidays and they don't get into the intrinsic significance of what's in this hymn. Even the last verse of this hymn is omitted from a lot of hymnals. And this last verse is a marvelous prayer to the Lord even. It's a prayer for him to return as the desire of the nations. And it's a subjective prayer for him to deal with the serpent in our being. And I would just like to read this prayer again briefly. Charles Wesley says in this final stanza, "Come, desire of nations, come, fix in us your humble home." If you're driving on the freeway, you're listening to this broadcast right now, we would encourage you to pray, "Lord, make your home in my heart. Fix in me your humble home." Then he says, "Rise the woman's conquering seed. Bruise in us the serpent's head." So on the one hand, the Lord bruised the serpent's head on the cross. On the other hand, in time, we need to pray, "Lord, bruise in me the serpent's head. Destroy in me the serpent. And undo all the works of the devil in me. Bruise in me the serpent's head." And then the next verses say, "Adam's likeness now efface, stamp your image in its place." We need to pray such a prayer. This last verse is quite marvelous.
Thank you for your fellowship. For Ed Marks, I'm Chris Wilde. Thank you very much for listening today.